Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is Bible Baptist Fellowship and Bible Baptist College. What's the future of this historic institution? Today, we've got Mark Maloney, my friend. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast-forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast-forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a Charter Member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a Charter Member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the Idea Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to Idea Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome stuff.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter Members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it. We want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Thanks so much for stopping by. On today's episode, we have a very special guest with us, Mark Maloney from the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. We're going to be talking about the future of the BBF and the Baptist Bible College. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Mark, we're glad to have you.
I am very honored. This is going to be fun. Thank you for having me.
It is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to just go round and round about asking and talking about all sorts of questions, just like we do at every single Idea Day. And by the way, we've got some Idea Days coming up here in next month. Is that right?
Yeah. Got two. Yeah. First time we're ever doing this.
Yeah. We normally do them separated, right, by months. But this time we're like, hey, let's just put them right next to each other so people get to choose which one they want to go to, Chicago or Tampa. Or, if you're a super fan like I am, this is something you love, go to both. Why not have a little vacation in Chicago and Tampa? I know a lot of guys have been contacting me saying, it is freezing, I'm tired of the snow, I'm heading down to Tampa, I'm going to be hanging out on the beach, I might show up to one session. So if that's you, if you're in Ohio right now and you're just like, you're up in Michigan, you're up in the UP maybe, you're thinking to yourself, I got to get away, come on down to Tampa.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wear your Tommy Bahama shirts, board shorts, and flip-flops. It'll be great. Come to a session. You'll be fine. So
you'll be fine. We don't care. We're going to have a great time together. Or maybe you're down in Florida or you're down in Texas somewhere. You're the panhandle of Oklahoma, and you're thinking, man, it's time to get to the city, baby. Let's go to the city. Let's walk Miracle Mile. Is that what it's called? Marvelous Mile? I don't know. Down in Chicago and have some time in the city. Come on down to Chicago. Come on up to Chicago. We're going to have a great time at Tommy's church, man. We're going to have a great time. So Idea Days, you can go register immediately at any moment at ideanetwork.church. If you're just new to the network, you're just getting to know us, check out what the Idea Days are all about. Days to share ideas. Actually, that's how the network actually began, through these Idea Days. So come on out.
We're excited to have you. Please go sign up. If you want to buy some swag, at ideanetwork.church/store. You can pick up some hats or, sweatshirts or whatever you want.
Yeah, I called my hoodie a sweaty Just like sweaty. You did. Yeah, I did that.
I mixed it up.
So. I did that too to my kids, and my kids were very frustrated with me.
What are you talking about? So
they said, "What are you?" I said, "You know, my sweaty, your hoodie." I said, "Yeah, it's a sweatshirt with a hood."
A shacket's a real thing now. You know that?
No,
it's like
I didn't.
A shirt and a jacket. It's like really trendy.
A shacket?
A shacket. Yeah, it's a thing.
So you can go to the website and pick up a shacket. I'm sure that Kylie and the team already have those available up there. A shacket, man. Shacket. That sounds almost like we shouldn't be saying that on the podcast.
Yeah, it's here.
Now, today, I am excited because, you know, the network continues to grow and our connections to all sorts of great institutions are there. And so my personal connection actually to the BBF, for those who are unaware, it's the Baptist Bible Fellowship. The BBF has been an institution that has been a fellowship of churches for many, many years among a lot of autonomous or independent Baptists throughout the country. Now, my history and remembering of the BBF, Mark, are twofold. Number one, I remember as a pastor's kid in Las Vegas that when people would call the church, there was no internet, people would call the church and they would say, "Hey, we're looking for a church in Springfield, or we're looking for a church in Oklahoma." And we would, there was a round binder, right? There was a ringed binder that my dad trained us to grab a hold of. Oh, he's holding it up on
the
video
right there.
Mark
is holding it up on screen right now.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. We'd take that binder down and we'd look up the city and say, "Oh, okay, so you're moving to Jacksonville. Oh, okay, you're moving to Seattle. Here are the BBF churches that you can go to." Man, I can remember doing that and sending people to BBF churches all over the country. And then I remember going to a BBF meetings in Southern California at a place called PCBBC, Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College, I believe. Is that right? Oh, there it is. Liberty Baptist Church. Dad is in there still. How about that? He just showed us on the screen. And I remember going to those conferences, and my dad would take us because we would drive down to Southern Cal. We'd go to Disneyland one day, and we would go to the conference the other day. And we would sit around that conference that first day thinking, "I cannot wait for this to get over with so that we can go to Disneyland with Dad the next day." So these are some of my random memories. For those who aren't familiar with Baptist Bible College, can you tell us a little bit about the history of Baptist Bible College?
Well, sure. And I want to thank you. I listened, I don't know, a year or so ago when you did the six circles of the independent Baptist movements, and you referenced us a little bit. Baptist Bible College started in 1950. We had kind of a very interesting beginning, having been a part of J. Frank Norris's ministry, and through some, you know, brethrenly fun there, some of our guys, our founders, broke off. G.B. Vick, W.E. Dowell, John Rawling, some famous old names in the fundamental world. And we ended up here in Springfield, Missouri. And we began classes the fall of 1950 in the High Street Baptist Church here in Springfield while buildings were being built here on our campus. So from that day forward, we have been right in this very same place. And we began to send out pastors to start churches, missionaries to go around the world. And that was our focus for many, many years. Very passionate, very intense, very focused. That's who we were. We were the, you know, the fundamentalists going out to reach this world.
And so the institution itself is, I mean, we're coming up here on 75 years, and it is a direct descendant of, as you said, J. Frank Norris, G.B. Vick, I mean, very well-known, famous people have come into the doors and through the doors of Baptist Bible College, like Jerry Falwell, correct? Jerry Falwell went to college there?
That's right. He's a 1956 graduate, probably our most famous alumnus. But we have people all over the world and all over, you know, America. About 50,000 alumni, over 12,000 actual graduates. Of course, for many years, all we did was a 3-year degree. Until you know, the mid 70s or so, and then we started adding 4-year degrees as well as additional degrees to just ministry.
I love it. Now, when you say alumni that are serving all over the world, it really is that, because the focus of the curriculum and the focus for many decades of the BBC was international evangelism. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. No, we really, from the very beginning, one of our founders, Fred Donaldson, said the strong right arm of the Baptist Bible Fellowship will be missions. So that really is the thing that binds us all together. Pastors and our colleges give a great emphasis, and ministry is still our largest degree option here, even though we have expanded to business and education as well. But that is the bottom line of who we are. That's why I came here.
I love it. I love it. Now, you know, for those who might be familiar with the BBC, you might be thinking, yeah, I know all about the BBC, but in reality, you might know about the BBC of the past. Because in my conversations with Mark, Mark has told me about how the atmosphere really is really changing in a lot of positive ways. Can you kind of direct us and share with us what you mean by that?
Well, I don't want to paint the wrong picture either, but at the same time, we're very different than we were many years ago. I explain this to a lot of alumni, and I explain this to parents coming in that, you know, not that many years ago, you wouldn't find girls here in pants or you know, other versions of the Bible. But we still are very conservative Christians and conservative theologically. But the atmosphere really is, it's very student friendly. And I meet a lot of people where it just wasn't always the case several years ago, you know. So the atmosphere really is very student friendly. I tell them our college students look like college students. They act like college students. They listen to college student music, but it's still a very godly, safe atmosphere.
Sure, absolutely. No. So what we're talking about is really true theological conservatism. But socially, there the rules perhaps may have been relaxed a lot from what some may have known it to be even 20 years ago. Would that be fair to say?
It is, and I still encourage our students to, you know, just be moral, be, you know, look sharp and nice, but it's not like I don't know. There was such a spirit before of wanting to catch you. And we don't think like that at all. I don't even understand that kind of mentality, but that's the way it was. And honestly, with a lot of our fundamental Bible colleges, we're very different than most of the other ones still out there today.
Yeah. I think you definitely hear horror stories of the past, right? Whether it's passed down from the seniors to the freshmen or whatever, but there's definitely is this sense of like, I'm probably going to go out to Walmart and buy something like in an unimproved outfit, and I'm definitely going to get demerits for it. Like there's definitely somebody always looking over my shoulder besides the Holy Spirit, which, you know, will follow you through all of life, not just the 4 years you're at college. But, you know, there's definitely that sense, you know, of a lot of colleges that are like that.
Movies and music, and it's all been an issue. And those are all in the past. You know, we just want mature, godly people. You know, we still have a curfew at night, but I was a policeman for several years. So I always tell incoming students, you know why we have a curfew? Because there's nothing you need to be doing out there after midnight. And every parent looks at me and goes, thank you very much. So, you know, we still have some rules, but it's definitely not like it was. But at the same time, we're definitely a Christian Bible-based organization, and we love our students and we listen to them a lot.
You know, those who come from maybe perhaps extremely conservative backgrounds might assume sometimes that if there is a shift in any kind of a rule or a standard as it relates to maybe dress or maybe music, that suddenly that's a free-for-all, right? That means there are keggers taking place in the dorms and a lack of care about, are these Christian students actually walking with Jesus at all? And that doesn't seem to be the case, Mark, from what you're telling us.
No, that's, I hate that we run to extremes like that. But there is such a difference in a church that's free, but still loves Jesus in the Bible compared to a church that is run that way. Same thing with colleges. You know, we're not like that. Our students are not that. We definitely have rules. But they're all rules to help them to mature and to grow and to live in a safe, godly atmosphere.
You know, it is funny. I mean, we've always had real talk on the podcast. So I'll walk into my journey itself. Our church was extremely conservative in some areas, and there are a lot of listeners who still have a lot of those positions that I once believed were necessary for our church, but we've shifted in some of those things because I felt them, number one, extra biblical and not necessary for the ministry here, and not conducive to spiritual growth for our local congregation. So we made some shifts. But as we've made those shifts, Mark, what's been funny to me is good friends, wonderful people, like still really good friends, genuinely misunderstanding a shift in a small philosophical or methodological aspect of our ministry to a slippery slope, as it were, to all sorts of degradation. So I've been shocked by conversations with people that will say, well, how often, when you drink, do you get drunk? And I'm like, I don't even drink. I still don't. And again, I don't want to make this about drinking. I don't taste this stuff. Don't touch this stuff. But there's an assumption, I think, sometimes from a very conservative element that if suddenly I'm have Casting Crowns being sung in my car, also on Friday nights, my wife and I get plastered. And there's a cognitive, I think, disconnect sometimes within that world. And maybe that's because in the past, those things were associated with one another. Maybe in the past, if my wife wore pants, I also might have a proclivity toward adultery. And that sounds silly, but I do think maybe those connecting points have been there for some. And maybe I'm wondering, have you experienced some of that maybe pushback and question of, is it possible that these kids can live a morally healthy life, but also the girls are wearing pants and you don't have the conservative, the as conservative standards upon these things? Have you experienced some of that?
Well, sure. When we've made some of the decisions that we have, I get a lot of pushback. But having been a pastor, I was a pastor in this movement for 25 years. I know these guys. And I know what their churches are like, and they know who I am and what I'm like. And they've been able to see that leading a church that was also conservative doctrinally, but just not caught up in preferential items. And a lot of times we love to use the IFB term, but we like to leave the word independent for whenever I want to use it. Yeah. Because I've been at many state fellowship meetings where if you didn't dress right, or if you didn't, your church didn't operate the way they saw or use the right version, then you weren't going to preach. And so how is that independent? How can you tell me what to do in my church or having a problem with anything there? But at the same time, you would never let anybody look at you and say the same things. So It that's a whole, and I'd love to go down that rabbit trail with you, but BBC is not like that. We're not run like that. We're not run based upon pastors' preferences. We do what's right. We do what's right for BBC. We do what's right for our students, and God is blessing us.
I absolutely love it. You describe the atmosphere as well as friendly, small family, a friendly small family that know each other, and you get to know the other students and the teachers. I think that's a beautiful thing, because in our pastoral work, we've noticed that there are some students that would thrive in a larger institution and some students that would get drowned in a larger institution. Can you talk a little bit about the distinction of BBC in that way?
Sure. I do think it's one of our selling points right now. We're not, at one time, BBC was the largest Bible college in America back in the 70s. And we went through some very tough decades over the years, and a lot of that's for a number of reasons, for church health, fellowship health, college health, all kind of different reasons, but the fact is today we're a smaller college, but our professors know our students. They can tell every student in their class how they're doing that week, and they do. I'm so pleased with their love and their compassion for every single student. They know their students' names. They know what their students up to. They know if they're, every assignment is good or bad, or something's going on there. So having that kind of atmosphere, when we show up to basketball games, man, we all show up. When we show up to lunch, we all show up. And chapel, it really is a very special atmosphere right now.
I love it. Though it's small, what I love about BBC is it seems that the academics are so grounded, not only in the history, but in for the future. I mean, you're accredited. It's a quality education. It's doctrinally sound. And when we talk about doctrinally sound, again, our audience continues to grow and becomes extremely diverse among Christian circles and evangelical circles. Can you talk about what your doctrinal position would be?
Sure. It's a very traditional Baptist doctrinal statement. It's right on our website. It's the same doctrine of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. So we share that in common. And even a lot of churches today have gone to a, I don't know, you could summarize it in a lot fewer statements and a lot shorter statements, but it's still the same. It's still Bible-based, Jesus Christ, salvation by grace and faith. And that's who we are.
I love it.
And always have been.
How many years has BBC been accredited?
So we began the accreditation journey back in the 70s with a Christian organization, which is called the Association for Biblical Higher Education. We started it back then with them, but then we became regionally accredited, which is the Department of Education approved, in 2005. And we've had some struggles with that over the years, but in the last couple of years or a few years, we are at the top of their standing. In regards to accreditation, we're accredited by two different agencies, and I think that's important. I get this all the time. Some other colleges choose not to be. God bless them, and they criticize us for being accredited. But to me, we have a great stamp of approval on our academic process. So not only do we teach the Bible, and it's never hindered anything that we've said or our mission or anything at all, but it's a really good stamp of approval on the quality of who we are. So I'm proud of who we are. You can compare our academics with anybody. And that's not always been the case. I'm excited about that.
I was going to say, I think that goes back to caring for your students, Mark, because in the long term, it's best for them and their outlook and their future, which they're only there for 4 to 5 years, maybe six if they're taking like an extended degree, right? But or if they're really
bad. You're right.
Back at academics. But like if you want their long-term best interest at heart, you're going to have that stance. So
that's right. Because they'll also be able to go to other schools. And their credits will transfer. And the same thing if they come here with credits. You know, ours not only transfer, but we can take those from other accredited places.
I think it's incredibly important, too, going into the season that our society might be in. We talk a lot about the future of the church as it relates to the Western church, as it relates to bivocational and co-vocational. And if that is the case, where we're going to see a lot of churches in a post-Christian America be bivocational and co-vocational, it's important that those degrees are accredited so that they're recognized within the secular market, so that the marketplace can actually see a degree that is accredited and understood, rather than an institute perhaps that may not see that value. So I think that is incredibly. I think that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that that's the case. You know, you don't only have a strong academic perspective there. You really have an athletic program right now, and you have plans for the future.
We do. I'm excited about where we're at. We started things with the purpose of serving students and having a great student life experience. And part of that is athletics. Last year, our team won our league national championship in men's basketball and men's basketball, women's basketball, women's volleyball. And this year we started men's baseball. We have women's cross country, men's golf, and we're looking at starting soccer next year. So if that's an interest to somebody, BBC is going to have all of those opportunities, and it's just fun. You know, I challenge I meet with every athlete and their parents that come in, because I don't want somebody just showing up to, you know, I'm going to be the next, you know, superstar basketball player. You're also going to be in Bible classes, and you're also going to be in chapel, and you're also going to serve in church. And so that's a strong part of who we are. But if they understand that and they're part of that and they want that education, then come on. I'm very excited to welcome them. And parents love when they hear what BBC is about. Parents love hearing the atmosphere that their student's going to be in.
That's awesome. You know, I'm excited about BBC because of its connection. It's a unique connection with an actual network. And I'm going to use the term network, BBFI. The Bible Baptist Fellowship International is just that. It's a network of ministry leaders that has been established now for 70, 75 years of people. And we referenced it a moment ago with the book. Around the world. And I'm excited personally about it too, because I'm really entering that territory as a pastor myself, pastor of a local church, by coming out to the annual conference there in May in Springfield. So I'm excited about that conference. Tell our community a little bit about the conference that's going to be going on in May.
Well, every year for this will be year 71. I'm 72. Yeah. We end our year with, we call it Fellowship Week. And it's just a national meeting of all Baptist Bible Fellowship entities and pastors. We do it in our big field house. It's just a very special time of homecoming. So this coming year, our year concludes. We're doing it on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then we have graduation on that Friday, May 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And I went out on a limb and invited our opening night speaker is Josh Tice.
Hey, hold on.
I know that guy.
You got to stay away. Look, you got to surround yourself with better people, Mark. That's all I've got to say. I'm excited about seeing it in person because I've never been there in person yet.
I'm excited to show you. I'm excited to show you around. I happen to know a bunch of guys that really like you. I'm trusting them. They owe me one.
You're talking to the right guys. That's what I'll say. Not all the guys you'll talk to like me, but
our theme is the gospel. And I don't even know if I've gone over this with you yet, Josh. Our theme is the gospel because I think that's a big question right now. We throw that term out and it's the good news, but what is it? What are we supposed to do with it? How really important is it? And so we're going to discuss that week through many different aspects and many different speakers, the gospel. I'm excited to have you be a part of it.
I absolutely cannot wait. And I'm excited about the future of the BBF and the BBFI as it relates to the BBC too, because there's so much potential. And, you know, off camera and off mic, we've talked about this, the potential of what could be. Here's one of my passions. Drew and I talk about it quite a bit. And leaders of Idea Network talk about it quite a bit. I believe one of the key missing elements of ministry leaders today is deep personal friendships and true relationships within the local church, but especially outside the local church. Pastors with pastors being honest and genuine and authentic in their relationships. And I do believe with these lack of relationships, because we lack a relationship with God sometimes that is not supported by a relationship with other people who understand where we're coming from, we get ourselves into all sorts of trouble. We get ourselves into relational trouble and financial trouble and sexual relationships that we should not be involved with to the point of self-sabotage and even self-harm. And I think over the decades, the connecting points for pastors at a national level, regional level, and especially local level have not increased. I look back at the last 30 years and I see pastors not connecting at a local level the way they once perhaps connected. And I don't think that's just true of particular denomination like Independent Baptists or Southern Baptists or Pentecostals or Assembly of God or ARC churches. I think it's true across the board. And so what the BBF has had in the past and what I hope the Idea Network can bring in the future and maybe even together is the concept of, can we really develop national fellowships that lead to regional fellowships that lead to local fellowships? And these are things that I think are really exciting. But the BBFI itself is very interesting. You know, tell us a little bit about it for those who aren't familiar.
Well, you described what takes place there. We are really going through a time of renewal. In fact, we were together this past week, all the state leaders and national leaders to meet and just discuss some of those things about kind of moving forward. How can we better move forward? How can we better serve pastors and start churches together? And so I came away with three big thoughts from that about who we are and what we need to be doing. One is exactly what you said. When you come to a meeting, it doesn't matter whether you're one of us or not, or whether your background is us or not, anybody can come to our meetings, but you can find friends you can count on. There are friends that will go through anything with you. You can find guys that have a lot of experience, but at the same time, maybe you can find a friend that's brand new and you can be a friend. I learned this after, you know, when I was a young pastor, I was so hungry. And after I was an experienced pastor, I wondered, you know, why do I need to go to, and it was because God convicted me. It's because it's my time to be there for somebody else to go and help some of these young guys. And so I find BBF is a place where you have friends that you can count on. It's a place where you can have missionaries that you can support. You can trust those missionaries. You can trust our missions office. You can trust those that are being approved and sent out. And it's a place where you can find colleges that you can trust. Friends, missionaries, colleges. That's who we are.
I love it, man. I'm excited about what's going on with the BBF and BBC itself. And maybe you're in a local context where you don't know any pastors. Maybe you're in a local context where you're sitting, you're like, man, I'm just out here all by myself. Here's what I want for you. Here's what Drew and I are thinking, and something that's a big passion to us. You're not alone. First of all, you're not alone nationally. Like, seriously, it's just a couple month and a half, 6 weeks away till an idea day. Buy a plane ticket, go to your deacons, like, get this done, come to an idea day, get to know some people outside of your world. We want to befriend you. But maybe you're already connected to the idea network and you come to the idea days, but in reality, you need a friend in town. Here's what I like about the BBF. It has a bone structure across the country where there are local fellowships. And who knows, there might be a guy right down the road who could become one of the truest friends you've ever had, and you need him, and he needs you. My question is, will you be willing to maybe contact the BBF, maybe contact BBC and say, hey, do you have anybody in my area that I can hook up with and be friends with? And I mean, hey, sometimes I have to tell my kids, they're all three teenagers, to make a friend, you got to walk across the room, and that's scary. We have a lot of insecurity as humans, right? But that might be exactly why you're listening to this episode. What do you think, Mark?
You know, I don't know when you started this, but I remember shortly after you did, I came across it and I heard you and I thought, I don't know how you did this, but you described me. You described, there's a lot of us out there that don't know about each other. And I part of my journey through the BBF is I was looking for something like this a long time ago. And you have come along, others have come along. And I'm so thankful for that, because a lot of guys, this is their friend. Josh, you're their friend and you don't even know them. I don't know if you realize the connection that you make. And honestly, every time the podcast comes out, when people hear your voice, they're like, oh, my friend is back to help me. And so it's so important for doing what you do. But I would tell guys, please, if I can give you my email address. If you call the college, you call me. I'm here to, I love pastors. That's who I am. I love ministry, and we will help you. I will find somebody to help you, whatever we can do to help you. You're absolutely right. We all need somebody.
I love it. Mark is a friend to us, and he is a friend to you, and we want you to make that connection as the Lord leads.
Yeah, Mark, I think it's refreshing for us to know, you have a whole network of people that are trying to help encourage pastors and ministry leaders. I think a lot of the talk of us in the past has been a lot of tribalism and trying to get over that, right? Which leads to further and further isolation and separation, and eventually you become like Elijah in the Bible saying, like, am I the last prophet, right? And you're not. And I think that's what the devil wants, is you to feel alone and maybe even worthless in this world. But it, just for a second, you can look up and say, like, no, like, they have a network like the Idea Network or what you're trying to start there and continue in BBFI. There's tons of ministers that are trying to follow Christ across the world and minister to the gospel and try to help people and build churches. And I think that's our message, right? Like, we don't want people to feel like they're alone. They have partners in crime, so to speak, that are out there that are willing to help and be a friend to them. So it's awesome.
Well, that's a beauty of what we do. And honestly, most colleges, you're with a group that thinks you're in a place where you think like each other, you're going through the same things together, and it carries on. When you get out, these are your best. I tell college or teenagers all the time, high school friends are great, but college friends are forever. And so it's a great place to meet those people that are going to walk through your life with you.
For sure, man. And when we talk about international evangelism, it kind of gets me excited, because there are rumors out there. Nothing has been officially announced. I can hear Jeremy and Kylie in my ear saying, don't give away too much. But Idea Network's been putting together an idea for late 23, maybe early 24, our very first ever conference on world evangelism, an international focus. And I know we've got a lot of missionaries that listen to the podcast, and the question is, great, we're glad what's happening in America. What about the world? There's more people than just those 300 million. And I think you've already tapped into our heart before it's ever come to our minds. We're excited about the future and what might happen at this upcoming, oh man, that's all I can say, conference on world evangelism. Should be really good. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm very excited about where we're at, who we are. We're growing. We grew a lot this past year, and our online program is growing very, very well. Very excited to help people finish degrees or to start new ones. And I'm excited about where we're at. It's been a long journey to keep BBC alive and going. But today's a new day. We're excited about the future.
Yeah, it really sounds like a strong platform from which BBC is regrowing and rebirthing like never before.
Now, before we let you go, where's the best way so we can point people to and our audience to find more about you and your ministry?
Very good. Our website is gobbc.edu, gobbc.edu. Start there, and you should be able to find everything. And I'm so honored to be able to talk to you guys about this, but also just to find other brothers out there. We're not lone rangers. And I, you know, again, through pastoring all these years, I met a lot of friends in different groups all over, and I'm so thankful for what you're doing and who you are.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.